All right, this morning I got up and I said, why are you giving a Father's Day lesson? Is it because you're lazy and you don't want to sit down and write a lesson when you have one already prepared? I missed you guys last week. I really did. I was gung-ho, ready, coming from conference on that high that you're usually on. And then I had to stay home a while. Bummer, bummer, bummer. But the answer to my question, no, I'm not giving a Father's Day lesson because I can and I have it already prepared, but I'm giving it because I am so full of love for all beings on this universe. And I like the opportunities to give praise and thanks to all the men, masculine and females in my life, because it's what makes us. We're expressions of God. We're examples for each other. And you know what? Our youth today so need the positive energy that we can feed them. Look what they're up against. They see violence, so much violence that their games are even violent. Have you walked through one of those, what do they call them, arcades? Everything is shoot this, shoot that. That's what's ingrained in them now. They see prejudice. They see prejudice not only on the television, but in their daily dealings in life. One saying something against another race or against another gender or against another whatever you want to pull out of the air. They also see deceit and envy. They see greed, people getting massive amounts of wealth, or so-called wealth. That's fake wealth, because it's not lasting. You know, I always think one presence, one power. That's the Father in us all. I'm not saying Father, I know a lot of people's Father images they had, not so nice childhoods or Father memories. But Jesus Christ taught us that God is our Father. A Father is a nurturer, and Father is a provider. Who provides more for us than Spirit, when we turn to Spirit for that guidance, for that wisdom, for that love, for whatever the need is within us. I like this. I was reading through some material and I saw where Lucille Ball had a TV interview with Merv Griffin. And so Merv Griffin asked her, Lucille, you've lived a long time on this earth. You are a wise person. What's happened to our country? What's wrong with our children today? Why are our families falling apart? And Lucille Ball hesitated a moment. And then she said, things are falling apart because Papa's gone. If Papa were here, he would fix it. Now, she may have been talking about her own father, but when she said that, I thought, that nailed it. Because a lot of people have forgotten their origin, they've forgotten their creator, they've forgotten that in them is something that's greater than anything in the world. And that's the Christ Spirit. That's that connection to God. And when we remember that we want to be expressions of God, what happens? We do better, don't we? We do better. Or we should do better. Maybe that's the way I should say it. If anybody out there is thinking, oh, we should do better. It's said that when you know this truth that sets you free, you have an obligation to live it, to breathe it, to pass it on, to share it. And we're going to do that very thing this afternoon. We're going to go and we're going to be joyful in our time together, in our fellowship together. We're going to open our hearts. And what better way is than over a meal? The food makes most people happy, doesn't it? Anybody in here that when they're not eating a good meal, they're not happy? No. Food makes us happy. And so does the spiritual food that is within, that we can partake of every day, all day, any kind of way. Just open your hearts and minds and say yes. Oh my, the lessons that we have learned from the Spirit within. It's all about oneness. It's all about coming together and building community. In today's world, the gender lines are a little blurred, aren't they? And that's okay. Everyone is accepted. Everyone is loved. We have mothers that are working with their children as the mother-father image. We have fathers that are taking care of their children as the father-mother image. There's no clear lines in some families. In my own family, when I thought back to it, my father was the one who took care of me during the day until I got up to school age. And then I was kicking and screaming because I wanted to stay home with him. He was more fun than being in that place around all those people. But my father took care of me and nurtured me also as my mother did and provided. And my mother did the same thing. She took care of me in the evenings. And she provided and nurtured me. So the lines are blurred. Even way back then, they were blurred. I always think about Genesis. We were made in the image, male and female. That means in us are all attributes. It's all one. No separation. All of us have the traits of the nurturing female that we celebrate on Mother's Day. All of us have the traits of the provider male. Not necessarily monetarily. You may say, well, no, because I'm just sitting at home. But you're providing. You're providing information that child needs to grow. So there's no clear-cut way of saying it. We all have those traits in us. So I am calling all fathers this morning. It takes a village to raise a child, and we're that village. You know, I had a niece, and every time I did something, she was like about 3 years old. Those little eyes were right there taking it all in. And when I turned my back, guess what? She was doing what I did. don't think that you're not being watched. Don't think that that's not being observed. This is silly, but if you want your child to behave, then what do you have to do? The same, right? Right. And my thoughts on behaving is listening to Spirit, following that guidance, sharing all the love I have, all the peace, all the wisdom, all the attributes that God has so lovingly instilled in me. Yeah, that's how we go about it. I want to tell you a little story. And in this story, a man came home late from work one night. He was tired and irritated. Anybody ever been like that when you were working? You just don't want to hear anything. And so his five-year-old son was eagerly waiting for him to get in the door. Have you ever been met like right at the door and there they are with a question? And so this little guy was waiting at the door for his father, and he said, "Now, Daddy, I want to ask you a question." And the dad, as we do sometimes, think about your body language. "Yeah, sure, what is it?" And the little guy said, "Daddy, how much money do you make?" And the father looked and he got mad and he said, "That's none of your business. Why do you want to know?" And the little boy looked at him and said, "Well, I just want to know. Please tell me, how much do you make an hour?" And the dad was getting madder and madder, thinking, "This is all I am, a money tree. I just got home. I've had a hard day at work." And so he knew that if he didn't provide some kind of answer, he was not going to be able to get what he wanted to do, most of all in that moment, sit down and relax. So he told him, he said, "I make $20 an hour if you must know." And the little boy sighed and bowed his head, and looking up, he said, "Daddy, may I borrow $10, please?" And the father flew off the handle at that point. If the only reason you wanted to know how much money I make was so you could ask me for some, then you just go to your room right now, young man. And so the little boy quietly got up, and he went to his room, and the dad was still fuming and fussing. He said, "How much money I make?" All he wanted to do was hit me up for cash. "I just got in. I've just worked hard. I work hard every day." Well, father sat down and thought about it a little bit, and then he calmed down. If I was his wife, I would have said, "Take a few deep breaths," because that's calming, isn't it? And so he said, okay. So he went up and he knocked on the little boy's door and he said, "Are you asleep, son?" And the little boy said, "No, Daddy, I'm awake. I've been thinking. Maybe I was just trying to do something." And the father said, "Okay, it's been a long day. Here's the $10 that you asked for. Evidently, you must need it for something important. So the little boy sat straight up, beaming then, and he said, "Oh, thank you, Daddy." And he exclaimed then, reaching under the pillow, he pulled out a big wad of bills. And his dad looked at him, and all the time, the little guy was straightening out the bills and fixing, and then he counted them out. And then he laid the 10 on top of that. And the dad, naturally seeing he already had money, was getting a little angry again. And he said, "Why did you want more money if you already had some?" And the little boy replied, "Because I didn't have enough." He said, "I have $20 now, and I'd like to buy an hour of your time." You see, time is worth anything in money. And in children's eyes, you don't know what's going on when they approach you with questions. You know, there's one thing that we can give that's way more than money, and that's love. And that's time. Loving and sharing love. How many, in thinking of this story, could have handled it different? Could have handled it gently with wisdom? Could have handled it by taking a deep breath, settling in, and finding out first, what is this about? What is the gist of this, before jumping to conclusions? We love to jump to conclusions, don't we? Have you ever been asked something and immediately jumped to the wrong conclusion? Yeah, usually that doesn't turn out too well. Jesus Christ taught us that it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, that God withholds nothing, not even his time. And why is that? Because there is nowhere, no time we can be or do anything where that presence and power is not stirring and moving within us. I was reading The Prodigal Son. I know everybody's heard that story. The prodigal son, the young son, takes all his money and goes out and squanders it. And what was the reaction when he came back? Because he had nowhere else to go. His father welcomed him unconditionally and forgave him. That's a lesson that's for us to follow. That's a good example. Because forgiveness is always at work. We always forgive, even in those circumstances, even when our children go out and do something that we totally may be fuming and steaming. But there's better ways to handle it. Add love. You know, there are some things that we can do to go forward, to glean a little bit out of this message today, or a lot out of this message today. What can we do to save the children of the world? How can we be good fathers and good mothers? How can we pattern ourselves like Holy Spirit within us, the Father of all, God of all? What can we do? Well, I have a couple of things that we can think about. Think of yourself as the pattern, yourself as the example. Are you wanting and desiring to live a Christ life How are you going about attaining that? Listening to your inward spirit? We can teach children how to sit still, get quiet, and listen. I saw a picture portrayed a mother, and she was trying to tell the child that this is quiet time. And so in doing so, she took the child's hand and placed it on her heart. And she placed her hand on the child's heart and said, feel that peace. Feel the energy that's moving between us. That was the caption. But the picture was hand, heart to heart. And this little hand on this mother's heart. There are things we can do for our children to help them navigate this thing called life. That was the first thing. The second thing was to be a good provider. I'm not talking about all this material stuff, all this name brands, and that's okay. Don't get me wrong. It's okay to do that. But be the type of provider that's providing all the love and nourishment that the children need. The type of provider that's thoughts and be able to work out problems within their own little minds. I'm telling you, they're more intelligent than you think. Sit down and talk to some of these five-year-olds now. Ooh. And always, always, always express unconditional love. Don't place terms or limitations. You ever hear, if you run, get me a glass of water, I'll love you. Don't place limitations on your love for them. You know, you may think that's nothing, but that soaks in. They take that stuff in. Watch your words. Be the gatekeeper. Be the gatekeeper. And know, right here you can start. What is past, right? This is the present. And we can begin now. So go forth and continue to have. Father and Mother's Day is not just a day to me. It's always. It's always. We have the commandment, honor your mother and your father. Doesn't matter what they were or how your childhood was, but just know them as the vessel that gave you the avenue to come onto this earth plane. And if nothing more, honor them for that. So let's connect ourselves. Let's take a few moments in prayer. And let's begin by affirming the Lord's Prayer. Together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and always. Take a moment, take a deep breath, settle into your seat right where you are, right now, right here. I like this healing prayer we were given by UNIT, Worldwide Unity. And we know that there's a lot of things going on in our world today. But this prayer says, we know that God is a love that has no end and a power that knows no bounds. God's healing power of divine life is restoring, healing, revitalizing our world in this very moment. Let go of any fears or anxieties. We affirm that all are safe, healthy, and protected. We affirm that all are safe, healthy, and protected. We bless all those who support us in maintaining vibrant, radiant health. We express divine life in all we think, say, and do. We bless our global family with radiant health, peace of mind, and abundant love, holding all in the peace that surpasses all human understanding. We release and let go of anything holding us from knowing the truth of our being. So as we breathe in and we breathe out and we journey deeper within, we reach that point of our inner chamber, that space where we can sit, that space where we can connect, that space where we know that we are children of the Most High Spirit. And in this moment, we step over the threshold of our inner chamber and we open our eyes and arms wide and we say yes to the infilling of love, peace, and wisdom, and all the attributes of God contained therein. And so we sit a moment in the quiet and let our hearts be filled. Dear God, we express our gratitude for all the gifts we have been giving in this moment of quiet. And we give you praise and thanks for our beingness and for our spiritual beingness. We are grateful. So we give this thanks in the name of the living, loving Christ, moving in and throughout all creation. And it is so, and so it is. Amen. go forth and make this a wonderful world. Mm-hmm.